Yeah. So we thank God for this great opportunity for God to speak to us through His Word. Father Lord, thank you so much. As your Word goes forth, I pray that your Word will change our lives. Your Word will bring light into our lives, that we will not just listen to these words, but Father Lord, these words will become seeds that grow and germinate and bear fruits. Father Lord, thank you because you will speak through me. Thank you, Spirit of the Living God, because you will guide me. You will give me the articulation to say what you want me to say, in the name of Jesus Christ. So, okay. Yeah, I'll take it out.
You're going to take it out?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, today I would like to take us through a journey of what I have entitled, All Things Are New. All things are new. You know, this is a new year, and most persons like to... Sometimes persons are uncertain about what the new year brings, and we are hopeful and we make new year resolutions. But in the Christian life, we become born again and God gives us a brand new life. And it behoves us to know what this life really is about, because that is going to be dependent on how much of God is on the inside of you, how much you display the power and all the attributes of God. Our theme scripture will be 2 Corinthians chapter 5, reading from verse 17. It's a popular scripture. It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And I want us to pay particular attention to the word all things are become new. I've heard persons talk about this scripture and they say, oh, the all things, what is new is our spirit. And truthfully so, but if we look at this verse, God does not make any mistakes. From reading the Bible and the Holy Spirit helping me to see some things in the scripture, I have noticed that even a word could make a difference to what God wants to say to you. It says all things are different. Everything is new. All things are new. So we want to see what is really new about this life. What is new about you as a born-again Christian? First of all, when we become born again, the Bible says that we are born from above. We came from above. That's what it means to be born again. We come from above. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." That everlasting life is the same thing as eternal life. What is eternal life? Eternal life, most persons think eternal life is living forever. But everybody lives forever. Hitler is going to live forever. And they say, oh, eternal life is living forever in heaven. Well, living forever in heaven. But eternal life is basically the Zoe. The Greek translation says Zoe, God's life, God's very life. So we become born again and God gives us his very life. God gives us his life. So we now have the life of God. And it gets me thinking, if God has given me his life, what does that mean? That I now have the life of God. And you know, sometimes I find that I say to myself, okay, I don't want to read, maybe I read too much meaning into these things, because if you give me your life, that means I would look like you. I would not, well, not look like you. I would do what you would do in everyday life. So I asked my daughter, okay, if I gave you my life, what would you be doing? And she said, Mommy, I would be praying, I would be reading the Bible, I would be going to work, I would be cooking. I said, okay. So if God gave me his life, that means I will be operating like God. How does God operate? So we begin to look into the Bible, because I don't want at the end of my Christian life, I find that it's just been nothing. But we have so much power. So I want to find out, how does God operate? If I have his life, I have to operate like God, because spiritual things come. You imbibe spiritual things as you become conscious, as you pay attention and focus on what the word says. So how does God live? God calls those things that be not as though they were. That's now my life. How does God live? He creates. God creates by using words. That's now my life. I can create things by speaking words, just as God does. God is invisible. Now, I have to know that God is invisible, so I am now more in tune with the invisible and not necessarily the physical, because the Bible says that the things that we see, they are temporal, but the things that are invisible, these are the eternal things. And we need to know that what gave birth to the physical things is the spiritual realm. So the spiritual realm is superior. So I am now a spirit being who is much more in tune with what is invisible. So when I see things around me not going the way I want it to be, I have to be conscious of the fact that there is another world. And isn't this wonderful? I become born again. I am a spirit being, and I have this earthly suit. God gives me the privilege of dwelling in two worlds. I am on the earth. I am also a spirit being. I can contact both worlds. What a privilege. What a privilege. So we now have the life of God, eternal life. I can now operate like God. Brothers and sisters, imagine what it means like to rub shoulders with divinity. God gives us his life. The Bible says the fullness of the Godhead dwells in a human body. He dwells in Jesus. And when we come to Jesus, that fullness also is our portion. How do you live your life knowing that the fullness of the Godhead dwells on the inside of you? How do you walk around in this world? How do you interact with your environment knowing that the Almighty, we are not talking about any other kind of person. We are talking about the Almighty God. We are talking about the God to whom the nations are like a drop in the bucket. We are talking about the God who measures the heaven with the span of his hands. That's the God that's living on the inside of you. It's not a joke. It's serious. How do I relate with life knowing I have this amazing God living on the inside of me? All things are new. You now have the life of God. You know, I find that this just knowing who we are, I just get on edge every time I read the Bible and I discover who we are in Christ Jesus. We've got such a powerful God. And I said, Lord, I refuse to be powerless with such a powerful God living on the inside of me. What else is new? Now we become born again. And God says, behold, I do a new thing. Don't bring the old into remembrance anymore. Forget the old. Brothers and sisters, when you became born again, you died. Your old self died. Your old self vanished. The Bible says now, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ. Your old life is no longer in existence, and you have to believe it. The Bible says, remember no more the things of old, for I do a new thing. So how real is this death? How real is it? Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 20, if ye be dead with Christ to the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to elements? If you are dead to the world, and brothers and sisters, we are dead to the world. We are dead to the world. And one translation says, now, if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become an entirely new creation. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Behold, everything is fresh and new. Another one says, when anyone is in Christ, it is a whole new world. The old things are gone. Suddenly, everything is new. When you became born again, your old life died. You died, and now you're a brand new person. So I was saying, how real is this death? So Paul says, you are dead in Christ. So why, as though living in the world, are you still subject to ordinances? So that means the death that we died is not just a spiritual thing. It is relevant to the physical world. Paul says, why do you allow yourself to be subject to elements? Don't touch, don't handle. Don't do this. Why do you allow the world to detect you, how you operate? Our death was spiritual, not a physical death. It was spiritual. But Paul relates it to physical things. So when we say that we have a life in Christ, it doesn't mean we just walk around like spirit people. It doesn't affect the way we live. It affects our everyday life. We are completely dead and our life is new. And we have to be conscious of this fact. You know, when you died, when we were dead in Christ, do you know that the universe was awakened to the fact that there is a new birth, that there is a new birth, there is a new Son of God. Somebody has been born into the spiritual world. When you became born again, the universe was awakened to the fact that you are now born again. The universe does not know the old you, except you are not conscious about it. The universe does not know the old you. The universe knows the new you. What? How do we know this? Because the Bible says the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. The creation, they are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And it's like God introduced you to nature. God introduced you to nature and said, this is now my child. How do we know that? The Bible says in Job chapter 5, verse 23, it says, you are in covenant with the stones of the field, and the wild animals will be at peace with you. God says, I am introducing you to nature. They know you. They now recognize that you are a son of God. And now you are in control. You are in charge. You know, we were in charge before. Before Adam lost everything. But now God says, okay, forget that old. Forget that Adamic life. Now I am giving you a new life. Not Adamic life. Now the very life of God. So do you know that nothing is inanimate in the spiritual realm? We only have inanimate things on earth. Nothing is inanimate in the spirit realm. That's why God says, if you refuse to praise me, I will raise up the stones so that they can praise me. I will raise up the stone. Nothing is inanimate. The nature knows you. The universe knows you as a son of God. And so you can decree things and they happen. Let me give you an example. So my son went to Bulford for football training, and then he left his phone. He left his phone on the field. The phone is cracked. And so when he came back, he said his phone is lost. I said, okay. I didn't tell him, but I said, I prayed about it. I said, Lord, I am declaring that that phone will be found, and that rain, even if it rains, dew, that frost, nothing is going to damage that phone. Why? Because the universe knows me. Because Frost knows me, because I am, the creature is waiting for my manifestation. They are waiting for me to say something, to exert my authority. I said, Frost will not damage that phone in the name of Jesus Christ. And we were waiting and expecting. And then about 5 or 6 days later, I get this call. The woman said, oh, we found the phone. I said, okay, is it working? And she said, yes, I'm charging it right now and it seems to be working. But I didn't get time to ask her, was it on the field? So when we went to collect the phone, I asked the man, so where did you find the phone? He said, we found it on the field. And with all the frost and all the dew and everything, but it's still working. So we got the phone and my son is in the car. And he said, Mommy, but how? How? Mommy, how? I said, I told you, I prayed about it. I prayed about it, and the phone is cracked. The more reason that moisture should have seeped into the phone. Brothers and sisters, I tell you, we have authority. We have God power. The creature is waiting for you to show that you are a son of God. And we thank God for Faith's testimony. And I was so blessed by that testimony. Be specific what you want God to do. Say it. We are too afraid. Oh, it might not happen. It might not work. What if it doesn't work? What if it does work? You know, we are always thinking, what if it doesn't? What if it does work? If it doesn't work, try again. You know, it is only in the Christian life that people say, oh, it did not work, so I'm not doing that again. But it doesn't happen in the world. Planes are crashing every day, but the moment it is crashing, people are trooping into another plane. But a Christian walks, tries to walk by faith, and it doesn't work. Oh, I'm not doing that again because it doesn't work. No, you get up and try again. The righteous falls several times, but rises up again. It will work one day. It will work if you don't give up. Brothers and sisters, we have a new life. Welcome to a new life where we are completely identified with Jesus. But the thing is that we limit to the extent to which we want to be identified with Jesus. We ought to be completely identified with Jesus. And I want to let you know that the Bible says that when Jesus died, the Bible says he poured out all of his blood. Jesus poured out all his blood. Do you know that you were in Christ when you poured out when he poured out his blood? And if you are completely identified with Jesus, your blood, all of your blood was completely poured out. We are completely identified with Jesus. What does that mean? Oh, brothers and sisters, when you poured out all of that blood, it brought to an end the Adamic nature for you. When all of your blood was poured out, the same way all of Jesus' blood was poured out, it brought to an end the Adamic nature. That Adamic nature that the devil poisoned by sin, that Adamic nature that is made of curses, thorns, the ground is cursed for your sake, is now going to bear thorns and thistles. Now all of that is gone. That is why it says you are a brand new person. That is why Jesus is called the last Adam. That's why he's called the last Adam. As the Son of Man, when he died, he brought to an end that Adamic race. And when he resurrected, he brought a new creation, which we are created in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, can I tell you, you are no longer made of dust. You are no longer made of dust. Remember what it says? Forget the old. I'm doing a new thing. Everything is new now. Everything is new. Forget the old. You are no longer made of dust. How do we know? The Bible says in Ephesians 2 verse 10, if you are recreated, you are God's workmanship, something that he's fabricating, recreated, made anew. You are now made from Christ Jesus. You are now no longer made from dust. And we have to believe it. You are now no longer dust. You are created in Christ Jesus. We have to believe this. And you know, the Bible says that in Christ, everything consists. Everything is in Christ. Human beings, creature, everything that God created in Colossians, I think 1:17, everything is in Christ Jesus. So guess what? When God dealt with Christ, God dealt with everything. And to know this, Colossians 2 verse 20 says that the blood of Jesus has reconciled everything back to God. The blood of Jesus Christ has reconciled everything back to God. So what does that mean? It says that everything that Adam lost, when Adam sinned, it affected the whole creation. But the Bible says that the blood of Jesus has reconciled everything back to God. And you read such a scripture and you are wondering, if everything has been reconciled back to God, what does it mean for me as a born-again Christian? It means that the world is no longer fallen to you. It could be fallen to everybody else. And somebody says, wow, that's not true. No, but every time I am confused, I have to go look at my identity, Jesus. Okay, if I can find this in Jesus, then I will believe it for myself. When Jesus walked on earth, did he live like the world was fallen to him? Did Jesus live like the world was fallen to him? He walks up to a fig tree, and the fig tree does not bear fruit, and he curses the fig tree. Jesus is faced with 5,000 hungry men, excluding men and women. And the disciples ask him, where do we get food to feed all these people? Let them go so they can buy food for themselves. And Jesus casually says, you feed them. How does he get to say that he doesn't have a truckload of food with him? He just says, you feed them. To us, how would we have reacted in such a situation? Brothers and sisters, we are completely identified with Christ. We have got the same mind. Everything is new. We have got the same mind as Jesus Christ. Whatever mind you had previous to when you were born again, you now have a new mind. What does it mean to have the mind of Christ? The mind of Christ is the same mind that created everything in the world. Brothers and sisters, you are now intelligent. You are now creative. You are now smart because you have the mind of Christ. The same mind of Christ that created everything. Welcome to a world. Everything is new. Welcome to a new you. Welcome to a new world. And we have to begin to be conscious of these things that God has prepared for us. We have to begin to walk into this thing. You have to get to a point where this consumes you, because if it doesn't consume you, you are just going to be a normal Christian. Brothers and sisters, we should hate normal. We've got such a powerful God. We've got such an abnormal God. Read through from the Old Testament to the New Testament. There is nothing that God does that is normal. Welcome to a world where God has given you his life and he wants us to live like him. How else are we new? The Bible says we now have a new covenant, a brand new covenant. You know, in the Old Testament, there were sinners, they couldn't be born again, and so they were under the control of the devil. But now in the new covenant, God says, I impute righteousness to you without works. God now tells you, you are righteous. But in the Old Testament, it was obey or die. But in the New Testament, it is, I will come into you and I will cause you to walk in my ways. You know, Jeremiah 32 from verse 38 to 40, he says, I will give you one heart and one way, a single purpose. I will give you one heart and one way. I will cause you to fear me forever, so that it may be good with you and your children. And you know, every time I have an issue with a negative attitude, you know, a bad behavior, I go back to God. I said, Lord, this is what you said. You said you will cause me, so I am trusting in you. What a promise that God does not impute sin on you. What a promise that God imputes righteousness on you without works. What a promise. God says, I will never be angry with you. Listen, we talk about the judgment of God. God is angry with you. There is no such thing as God is angry with you. God said, I will never be angry with you. Where do we find this? Isaiah 54 verse 9. He will never be angry with you. But you will hear preachers talk about, oh, God is going to judge America. God is going to judge the United Kingdom because of all the sins, because of all the godlessness. God will never be angry with you. A verse previous to that, it said, this is like the covenant I made with Noah. God promised that he will never again flood the earth. He will never again flood the earth. Why did he make that promise? Because the people were very sinful and wicked, and God flooded the earth. But when he saw the sacrifice of Noah, he said, okay, I will never flood the earth. Until today, God has not flooded the whole earth. Does it mean that people are no more sinless? Does it mean that people are no more wicked? People are just as wicked and even more. But because he made a covenant, because he spoke a word, he will never flood the earth. And it's the same thing. He said, I will never be angry with you. You know why God will never be angry with you? Because he said, the iniquity of us all, he laid it on Jesus. Every sin, past, present, and future, every sin, everybody's sin, he laid it on Jesus. What is it that causes God to be angry? It's sin. And if he has laid the iniquity of us all on Jesus and judged him, where is the anger left for anybody? The Bible says that God looked at Jesus and he was satisfied. He saw the sacrifice of Jesus, how he poured out his, and he was satisfied. If God was satisfied, God can never be angry with you. He cannot punish us twice. He punished Jesus. He was satisfied. So brothers and sisters, it should give you, it should encourage you that God will never be angry with you. He said, if you sin, you have an advocate. If you sin, there is the blood of Jesus. So much has been done for us. So much has been done. We have been purged. We have been washed with the water of the word. We have been cleansed. So much has been done for us. There is no area where we should be failures. There is no area. There is no failures in our lives. So much has been done. And guess what? Even with all of this, Jesus is by the right-hand side praying for us, making sure that we make it. Making sure that we do not fall. It says that he that started this good work in you, he will make sure he completes the work for us. Brothers and sisters, welcome to a new world. The Bible says he will give you a new spirit and he will also give you a new heart. We have a brand new spirit. We have a brand new heart. And you know, I was meditating on this scripture. I meditated on this scripture and I said, he's given us a brand new spirit. It switched off. It doesn't seem to work. He said, he's given us a brand new spirit. And one day I was just meditating on this scripture. He's given us a brand new spirit. And I'm like, what about the body? Did he do anything to the body? Because that will affect how we live on earth. I still have a tent here that needs to live on earth. So he's given me a brand new spirit. What about the body? And I was just meditating on this scripture. And this is why it's good to meditate. It is in meditation that the Holy Spirit speaks to you. It is in meditation that you receive revelation. And all of a sudden, I could not come up with this in a million years. And all of a sudden, I hear in my spirit, new wine cannot be put in old wineskins. Hallelujah! New wine cannot be put in old wineskins. God gives us a new spirit. He has done something to this body. We were praying for 22. He has done something to this body. He couldn't have left the body. Because the body is just as important as the spirit. Listen, the spirit is powerful, but guess what? If cancer destroys this body and you die, as powerful as the spirit has to leave, even with all its power. If sickness destroys this body, the spirit has to leave. And so God is interested in our bodies. God wants us to be well. God wants us to be healed. And especially if you find out God's purpose for your life and you are pursuing that purpose, God is responsible for keeping you alive because he has his purpose. You are after his purpose and he wants that purpose to be fulfilled. Welcome to a new world. All things are new. God has done something to this body. And how do we know? It says in the Bible, to those that believe, they shall drink deadly things and it shall not harm them. Does a normal human drink a deadly thing and it doesn't harm them? No, it's only spirit beings that can drink deadly things and it doesn't harm them. God has done something to this body. It doesn't necessarily become an immortal body, but at the same time, God has done something. And you know how I know? Because in Romans chapter 8, verse 10, especially 11, it says, if the same spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, that same spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead will quicken your mortal bodies. And when I read this scripture, I looked up a few commentaries, and most of the commentaries were saying that this promise is for the future. When Jesus comes, our bodies are going to be changed. But I have also heard two preachers that I love to listen to, and they have said this promise is for now. But I wasn't fully persuaded. And so I remember asking the Holy Spirit, I said, Lord, I've read commentaries that say it's for the future. Because see, brothers and sisters, you've got to have mastery in the Word of God. I don't want to stand in the middle of the road expecting that God is going to deliver me, standing on his word, and God tells me, oh, you interpreted that word wrongly. That's not actually what I meant. No, I want to be sure. And that is your place with the Holy Spirit. Ask him, when you said you would deliver me, what did you mean? And so I asked the Holy Spirit, I said, you know, I've heard that this one is for the future. And I've heard these two ministers, but for some reason, I am not fully persuaded. Holy Spirit, tell me, I want my own revelation. This is their revelation. I want mine. Is this promise for now or for the future? And you know, when you ask the Holy Spirit questions, sometimes he responds immediately, sometimes in a week, sometimes in 6 months, sometimes in a year. But this time around, he responded right there and then. And then he told me that this promise is for the now. You know why? Because when Jesus comes, he is not going to quicken a mortal body. He's going to give us a brand new body. This one, he is just quickening a mortal body. And if you look at the Greek definition, it says revitalize. Revitalize, reinvigorate. God makes sure that you're alive, so that he can fulfill his purpose. All things are new. All things are new. And brothers and sisters, listen, we can hear this and it doesn't really impact us. Brothers and sisters, you have got to find time. The word works when you work it. Listen, God's word can never fail. Do you lock yourself in your bedroom and you tell yourself, I've got the life of God in me. I've got the life of God in me. The fullness of the Godhead dwells on the inside of me. I've got, you say that for 30 minutes. Say that, let it consume your life. And people say, so are you afraid to die? You shouldn't be afraid to die. Listen, I am not afraid to die. I'm just afraid not to fulfill God's purposes for my life. I've seen too much in the world. I've seen such a glorified life. The Bible says God's thoughts towards us are numerous. I haven't seen most of this come to pass. I have to stay alive. I need to see these things become flesh. I have, my children have heard me pray. They have heard me speak in tongues. They have heard me act crazy in the bedroom. They need to know that this word becomes flesh. They need to see the manifestation. I need to leave a legacy of faith for my children. They need to know that I'm not crazy. They need to know that the word works. I need to be alive. And if we look at the word of God, for example, look at Peter. Peter says, the Lord has told me that I am soon to leave this tabernacle. I am one with God. Can he tell me when I'm about to die? I don't expect to just be cut off by an accident, by a plane crash. No. Peter says, the Lord has told me that I am soon to die. That's my expectation, that God will tell me. Who was Peter? He says that we have received like precious faith, the same faith that he has. I have it. And I'm expecting to live like that. Paul says, I'm not sure what to do. I desire to go and be with the Lord, but I also desire to stay. But guess what? I am going to stay. Does a man decide not to die? Men don't decide not to die. It's sons of God that can decide not to die. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I've seen examples in the Bible. I have an expected end. And, you know, somebody says, what about all those ministers, anointed men of God who have died? We may not know individual circumstances. It's a war, and in a war you'll have casualties. But you know what? The Bible says, for me, it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And out of all those people, you don't know which one that the Holy Spirit nudged them. No, stay at home today. Don't go out. Don't fly on that plane. You don't know. You don't know individual circumstances whom the Holy Spirit told, don't go out, don't board that plane. But the person was in a hurry. And the person boarded the plane and it crashed. And we say, oh, God failed, a man of God. We don't know individual circumstances, but you know yourself. Who do men say that I am? But what about you? Who do you say that I am? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We've got a brand new life. You've got the life of God. You've got a life where you can call things into existence. You are anointed. Everything has been done for us. Brothers and sisters, how do you live from today, knowing that you're a brand new person, knowing that that old life was poured out, knowing that God has completely severed your ties to the world? And now the world has woken up to a brand new person. The world has woken up to a son of God in existence. But you know what? That is why the creature is waiting. When we don't get into the word to know who we are, when we don't get into the word so that the Holy Spirit can teach us how we can be overcomers, when we don't get into the word and let this consume our lives, what else can we live for? Whatever it is that you are focused on and it doesn't give you enough time to stay in the word, if you stay in the word, God can take care of all of that. Brothers and sisters, everything is new. And the extent to which you give your life to this newness, the Bible says you walk in newness of life. The extent to which you are conscious, I am new, I am no longer that old person. Every aspect of your life is going to change. Welcome to a new world. Welcome to a world where God gives you one option. How awesome! One option above only. One option. You are to be above only. Brothers, we now have the life of God. We are sources. I am no longer beggarly. We are sources. I am the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You are a city set on a hill. You are now sources. You are no longer going around looking beggarly. No, you are in charge now. Where they say there is a casting down, I am a son of God. I will say there is a lifting up. I give life to others. Do you know that God doesn't see you as a beggarly person? God sees you as a person who is another of his kind that he has placed on earth. You are another of his kind. Welcome to a world where we are rubbing shoulders with divinity. Ah, not in pride. God calls you to sit on his side, and I feel like saying, Lord, I'm better kneeling. And he says, no, child, come and sit down in Christ Jesus by the right hand side of the Father. Come and sit down where you are above all. Welcome to a new life. Brothers and sisters, you know, you want to think, at the end of my walk with God, what am I going to show for all of my years of walking with God? I don't know if you have thought about things like this. God cannot fail. What am I going to show at the end of my life? Am I going to say, or are people going to say, oh, there was a certain precious, oh, she lived in Salisbury, she attended Assemblies of God Church, she had 3 children, she was a teacher at some point and a carer, and that's all that's going to be said about me? No. God has much more for me than that. God has much more for every one of us than that. If there is a sickness in your body, can you believe that God says everything is new? And you know, when God says everything is new, he doesn't tell you what is new. He leaves that to you. What can your faith include in the all things are new? For some persons, all things are new is I'm going to heaven, according to your faith. For some persons, all things are new is just I am now holy. That's their all. But God leaves it open. All things are new according to your faith. What do you want to include in the all? God will honor your faith. Do you need new legs? Do you need new kidneys? Do you need a new heart? All things are new. And you listen to nothing else. And another life that we have is God has given us words to speak. We speak like God. You don't, tomorrow you do not say, oh, my, I am healed. And the next day you say, my knee still hurts. You know, this can be tricky. But God says, does a fountain produce both bitter and sweet water? He says, I have given you one heart and one way. Can you speak one way? Can you speak one way? Can you stand on that word? You know, one day I wake up with a sharp pain. Excruciating pain on the side of my stomach. And you know, there are some sicknesses that, or you just declare and you can still carry on with your life. But there are some sicknesses that I'm getting healed now because this sickness is making me unproductive. So I was the pain was so much. I did everything that I could. I prayed. I took the communion. I quoted scriptures. I did everything that I could. And this is going on a couple of days. And you know, My daughter said one day, Mommy, everybody gets sick in this house, but you don't get sick. And I told her, sickness comes on me, but I just act like somebody who is well. And this pain was so much, and I was surprised that nobody even knew that I was ill, because if you say that you are healed, act like somebody who is healed. I tell you, God will honor your faith. And this, we can get to extremes. What can you do? There are sometimes that sickness attacks me and my faith is not enough to go to work. Some person's faith can, I will go to work and as I go like the 10 lepers, I will be healed. But boy, my faith is not at that level. My faith is at the level where I can stay at home but still act like I'm well. Even if you are paralyzed, can you lift a finger? God knows what you can do. Act like somebody who is well. So in the middle of the night, I am praying, I am speaking in tongues. The pain is so much, I can't sleep. And then the devil begins to speak to you. See, you didn't go to the hospital. You could, and I was telling myself, God, I could die here and nobody knows what was wrong with me. And I started feeling guilty and I said, Lord, I don't feel like you want me to go to the doctor. I don't feel that in my spirit. I don't feel like you want me to go to the hospital. But Lord, if I am just being stubborn, if I am deaf, if I am spiritually deaf and I can't hear you, Lord, I have brothers and sisters. You don't want me to die. You have a purpose for my life. I have brothers and sisters. Call somebody to call me. Pastor Tony can call me in this middle of the night and tell me, precious, God says, go to the hospital. I said, let somebody call me, but I just don't feel like that is what you want me to do. But then I am there and the pain is still there. But so my spirit was settled that is not what God wanted me to do. So I just kept praying. I kept speaking in tongues. And then I hear God speak to me, says, get up and go to bed. Because I've been there all night. He says, get up and go to bed. And I'm like, you know, you want to say, Lord, it's easy for you to say, but how do I sleep with such pain? And you know, I had to obey because I had a similar circumstance where I was sick like that with sore throat, very painful sore throat. I'm praying all through the night, and in the morning, God tells me, I was still in Jamaica then, and God tells me, get up and go to school because you are healed. And I said, yes, Lord, I know I'm healed, but I've been up all night. I'm tired. I just want to rest. And I stayed at home, and that healing never manifested, and I had to go to the doctor to get an antibiotic. So this time, when God said, get up and go to bed, I knew enough to obey. So I got up, and I was laying in the bed like this. You know, you don't want to be turning around to disturb my husband who is on the other side. Because when you're feeling pain, sometimes it feels like when you are tossing and turning, it helps with the pain. So I'm just like this. I'm just like this. And I'm just imagining the scripture that says, and Abraham considered not his body. And I'm like, Lord, but the pain is saying, consider me, I'm here. The pain is saying, consider me, and I'm just there. Just imagining my body free from pain. And by the time I slept off, I didn't even know when I slept off. By the time I woke up the next day, the pain was drastically reduced. And by the second day, the pain was completely gone. Hallelujah. God is faithful. God is faithful. And the devil will want, the devil brought back the same pain. I'm at work, night duty. I'm at work, night duty, and the sharp pain comes again. And you know, I could have easily gone to my work charger, and this is about 2 a.m., night duty. And I could have easily gone to my work charger and said, I'm feeling something, I need to go home. But I said, you know what, I came to work, I'm staying here, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I'm walking around the world, and people are telling me, sit down. But I couldn't tell them what was wrong with me, and I'm rebuking this pain, I'm rebuking and rebuking, I'm standing on my ground that I'm healed. And the pain disappeared. I tell you, brothers and sisters, welcome to a new world. All things are new for us. All things are new. Let's grow up. Ask the Holy Spirit to enlarge your heart so you can accommodate God's greatness. Our thinking is too small. Our hearts needs to be enlarged to accommodate His greatness. And the capacity is there. The Holy Spirit is our helper. Welcome to a world where all things are new. I pray that God will open our eyes. I pray that God will cause us to draw near. I pray that God will cause us to leave the elementary stages of Christianity. I pray that God will cause us to stop drinking milk and eating meat and get up to the strong meat level. Oh, God wants us to grow up. I pray that God will make us to be the ones that give life to others and not receiving life. Or we've already received life, the greatest life. Welcome to a world where you have a superior life. The Bible says you are God's, and you have to believe it. We are God's, but if you don't believe it, the Bible says you will die like the sons of men. Let God do something in your body. Take a project. If you are sick in your body, take a project, take the word of God and tell yourself, I must see this come to pass. I have to say something about my faith. There something has to show that I didn't work for. It's a supernatural life. You don't have to work for everything. I have to have a story to tell my children. I have to have a story to tell my grandchildren. Get a project. I must see this healed. Even if you are taking medicine, continue to take your medication, but look at that medication. You are coming to an end very soon. I have the life of God on the inside of me. You are coming to an end very soon. Amen. And you live a life where you have a testimony and you rub the devil's nose the rest of your life with that testimony. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. All things are new. Praise the Lord. All right, who takes over? You want me to continue? Yes. Well, before he comes, I still have a few things. I would have stopped, but I still have a few things. No, before he comes. So we should be excited about this new life. It should bring us.